Good morning, everyone. Thank you for joining us. This is our Community Impact Board meeting of December 12th, 2019. We had a great time in Moab last month, reviewed a lot of great projects, and we're excited to review the slate here. I'm sorry to report there's no project number 9 today, so there's no lucky number. We have 6 projects to review, yes. So sorry for any applicants. Did not get the coveted number 9 slot. We'll turn the time over to Candace for a review of number 1, 2, and 3. That's the meeting dates and locations, the financial review, and the review of agenda items.
Good morning. This is a busy season, and we're glad you're all here. This is the second review meeting of the second trimester of fiscal year 2020 for this board. There are 6 new projects and 1 supplemental request. I hope all is well with the new board packet. No emails or phone calls this time about the board packet, so you guys are just like masters. Yay. The iPad loves the Granicus platform, if you've noticed. Sorry about the Surface, but the loan tool does not. So... we're working on an iPad interface for the loan tool so that it works a little bit better. The bonus fund must be allocated at an interest rate. That's a reminder. The mineral lease fund is being utilized quite well, mostly by grants. Loans can also be made out of the mineral lease fund. I'm reminding you that every meeting, a 0% loan or an interest-bearing loan can come out of the mineral lease fund. It keeps the mineral lease fund revolving, which is a statutory requirement of this board. Most of the revenue is coming in from the historical loans that were awarded. So it's kind of important.
But you know when you say about what...
Can you push your button? Sorry. Well, that just makes it easier to record.
Right. So when you say about, you know, like mineral lease and go out 0%, as long as we do a loan... The staff figures out where it comes out of. We don't have to...
Yeah, well, a 0% loan can't come out of the bonus.
Okay, so the big part is that for mineral lease, it has to come out of... It has to have an interest bearing.
Yeah, if it comes out of the bonus, it has to have an interest
associated
with it. The board funds all applications as if the board funds all applications as indicated on the financial page, which is in your board, and it's this last. And you'll notice that we've changed some titles up here so that you know this is what exists in the balance. This is if you fund everything, and then this little red number means that we would be in a deficit if no additional revenue is received. The DWS finance team is the keeper and updater of the CIB revenue, so we rely on them heavily. As DWS finance reconciles with state finance, the board may receive accurate revenue information. So if you understand this sheet right here, there's a balance that's before anything is awarded, but by February 2nd, this is what it looks like on February when we fund everything. The calendars were, they benefit Primary Children's Hospital, and we hope you enjoy them. They're not our usual life elevated calendar. They stopped making those. Would make sure that you sign in, and that on the sign-in sheet it says please print. Make sure you please print, because it's quite an effort to figure out your hieroglyphics, but we're getting better. So I usually say sign in, but please print.
And no January meeting?
No January meetings. Sorry, thank you for reminding us. But I did send out a calendar invite for the February so that you know that it can be on your calendar and you're ready for it. But the previous email did indicate that the January meeting was canceled. That was because we had a few applications that withdrew. We only have 2 to review, and we will review those at the February meeting. So there are 6 today. The 2 were not ready for today, so we'll put them then.
Just so you're aware, our new loan tool, when you come up, it just spits out everything 100% loan. So, so yeah, no. Okay, let's. We know we have Commissioner Dalton has sent his regrets that he won't be joining us. We know the treasurer will be joining us at some future point. But let's go around the room and do introductions. We'll start with Mr. Galecki.
Good morning, everybody. My name is Greg Galecki. I represent the Water Quality Board.
Irene Hansen, Duchesne County Commissioner.
Good morning, Mayor Dean Baker, representing Uinta County.
Good morning, Nagi Zinadi, representing UDOT Commission, and bring you warm greetings from sunny St. George. And for those of you that lately have the checkup for your eyes and doctor told you you've lost your 20/20, don't worry, in 19 days, the one who loved us the most is going to give us a 20/20 vision and hope that we can use that in proper way.
I'm Pam Shostrom. I'm the administrative assistant for the board and staff.
Allison Garner with the Attorney General's Office.
Jonathan Hardy, Chair of the Board.
Good morning. My name is Keith Eaton. I'm with the State Community Development Office.
Candace Powers, Fund Manager for the Permanent Community Impact Fund.
I'm Bruce Adams from San Juan County. I represent the Southeastern Utah AOG.
Kyle Stevens, I represent the State Board of Water Resources.
Jack Lytle from Daggett County, Utah, representing you in the Basin Association of Governments.
Good morning, Commissioner Ogden, Sevier County, representing Six County Association of Governments.
Gail Gardner with the Housing and Community Development Division.
And we have Brenda Brown over here managing all of our technical needs. So we appreciate that. We have before us the minutes of November 7th, 2019, our time in Moab. We entertain a motion on the item.
So moved.
Second. I'll Mayor Baker, and I'll second that.
Okay. We have a motion by Commissioner Lytle. We'll give the second to Commissioner Ogden. He did say it first. So,
good job.
And this side of the room always feels like I don't give them enough credit. So I kind of have like my peripheral vision works well over here, but not as well up to the right side.
We have flags or something over on our side.
Yeah, one of the days we'll just to switch you all up. Okay, we have a motion and a second to approve the minutes from November 7th, 2019. Further discussion of that motion.
Just a compliment to Pam and Candace for the beautifully written minutes.
All right. Beautifully. All right. Okay. All in favor of approving the minutes, say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Any opposed? That motion passes unanimously. We'll start with our new projects. Invite Johnson Water Improvement District up. I actually have a conflict on this one. My wife's uncle is part of this application, so I'm going to turn the time over to Keith for the discussion and managing this application.
Number one on today's agenda is from Johnson Water Improvement District. It's for an 8,000 West Water System Improvements. This is a project in Duchesne County. The applicant is contributing $68,000 in cash. It will replace some booster pumps and a booster station to the Ledge Lane tank. In the public hearing minutes, it states that it is not productive to take a loan for under $100,000, and we are not going for a Division of Drinking Water loan because the interest is too high. The board can decide what they want to do that, but they did say that a full grant for this $102,000, which is their request, would be put the MAGI at 0.68%. A full loan of $102,000 at 2.5% would put the MAGI at 0.68%. So with that, it's a good project. We love water projects. We like to get them done. And we'll turn the time over to Johnson.
Welcome. If you'll please introduce yourself and tell us a little bit about the project.
Hey, my name is Dixon Taylor. I'm the manager of Johnson Water. And Johnson Water District is in Duchesne and Uinta County.
Is your microphone light green?
Hold it down a little.
Okay. Technical assistance is on the way.
Oh, from the back side. Has not been turned on
at all.
Yeah, from the back side. There you go.
Thank you.
That's the problem with being first.
Thanks. My name is Dixon Taylor from Johnson Water District. Johnson Water District is located in both Uinta and Duchesne counties. We straddle the border there, mostly in Duchesne County. We serve about 800 customers. A lot of our water, most of our water is probably sold to the oil industry for mineral extraction. And anyway, this project is to upgrade our pump station. Right now it only serves one reservoir. This will make it serve two reservoirs. And then it will also have the option of adding a chlorinator in there. And part of the project also is some plumbing down the road a ways where we will cross the road, just put in some valves. And so there's a new pipeline from the pump station to our existing reservoir, and then down the road we'll be crossing the line with some valves and pipes. But that's about it. It's just a small project.
Well, small is relative.
That's true.
For this group, it is a small project. Thank you for that. Turn the time to the board for questions. Mr. Slaughter.
Mr. Chairman, I had a question relative to the comment that was made, and Candace alluded to it. In the minutes, the public hearing meeting minutes, where I said it wouldn't be productive to take under $100,000 loan, was just wondering what the rationale was.
Well, the bonding costs are high enough that the last loan we took, I think it was $20,000, $30,000 just with the bonding attorney.
Okay. Yeah, just for reference, generally anything under $100,000 doesn't pencil out. Right. This one's right there at that threshold. It could be done.
And
often in these cases, as Candace is saying, we use a generic bonding, which cuts down on the cost. So it wouldn't be $20,000 or $30,000, but it would increase the cost a little bit. It's doable if the board were there. Yeah. Commissioner?
For the sake of even numbers, would there be a problem with just going with the 100,000 so we're not being challenged to go above or beyond?
Why?
For the sake of round numbers, can you guys handle 2,000?
We just rounded it off 60-40 is what we did. So we weren't looking exactly at 100, but I think that's the way they figured it out, it was just a 60-40. 60% grant and 40% cash.
I guess it depends on which round numbers are most useful to the staff.
It's not an issue. But they could do 70, we could do 100.
Commissioner,
thank you.
You said that most of your water is sold to the oil companies in the oil field.
Well, it used to, but. And we're in this boom-bust deal. So right now we're selling almost no water to the oil companies right
yeah,
now.
Yeah, that's what I was wondering. If you were selling any water to the oil companies right now, but it's when there's a lot of drilling that you sell most of your water to the oil companies. So who uses the water if the oil companies are not using it?
It stays in the reservoir, starvation. We just don't use it. We do have a problem with, I'm sure you're well aware of, you funded the treatment plant and the problems they had with the Dollar Ridge fire. You're all aware of that. They probably told you about that. But that goes downstream to us. So we have a problem maintaining chlorine residual in our lines. So we have to flush from time to time, which is just, flushing just means it just goes on the ground down the drainage ditches. So it's wasted trying to get chlorine to the end of our lines. So because when the oil companies are using a lot of water, we can keep it fresher, but when they slow down, then we have to flush in order to get chlorine. And then even now it's a challenge because we can flush for a long time because of the nutrients in the water. It eats up the chlorine. That's why we want to put this chlorinator in, you know, along with this project, add more chlorine farther down into the system.
So I'm having a kind of a hard time understanding why you would want all grand on this loan if it's just an investment for you to sell water to the oil companies to make money. It's not being used by residents.
Oh no, this is all of our water. This is water we're using right now.
How many residential connections do you have?
We have about 750, I think off the top of my head is what it is. We have a total of about 820 active connections, 930 total connections. So the majority of the connections are residential connections. It's just the majority of the water over the last 20 years has gone to industry. But right now, they're just not buying any for the last month or two.
So, Candace, I'm not expert enough at this system to find out what the MAGI is on this system.
Right now, it's 0.68 of the MAGI. So what they're doing.
And what's the target MAGI?
1.75.
So they're way below.
Yeah.
Hmm.
Yeah. Let's go with Greg.
Bruce, you're kind of leading to where I was at. I guess I'll summarize things in my mind quickly. So at 100%, at 2.5%, loan, 100% loan at 2.5% for 30 years, as many water projects are, that would raise your rates by 13 cents. At 0.68, which it would be, you're still well below the target of 1.75%. Now, when you say, you know, as far as addressing the, the bonding at 100,000, my recommendation is, would you want to do, you know, the entire thing, 168,000 at a loan? And then, you know, that would absorb more of the bonding costs. To be honest, that's where I'm at. After discussions, I would make a motion. And that, if you'd want more loan, I would raise the amount. But at the rates that you're at, and that raising the as proposed going to 100%, it only raised rates 13 cents. That's where I'm at on it. But
thank you, Mr. Galecki. Let's go to Mayor Baker, and then we'll go to Mr.
Okay. Greg jumped in there a little bit for me, but I sat down and calculated if you went to all loan, and I didn't add their what they had in money, but 2.5% on a 20-year was 20 cents per connection to do that. And so, honestly, at that, that's really...
Yeah.
So Greg made the motion. And I'm good with that, and if nothing else, I'll second that motion.
All right. Well, we have a motion and a second.
Before I make that motion, would you like more money in loan than the $102,000?
Just keep your cash.
Just keep your cash and make it 168,000 in loan at 2.5% for 20 years.
Well, I guess the first question I have is, where do we get the MAGI?
We get it from the Division of Drinking Water. They do it, and they do.
So, is it based on our mailing address of our office, or?
We get it from the Division of Drinking Water. They get it from the county assessors for the area that you're in. So, Johnson Water, they say, is it's at the top of their review, is an unincorporated area of Duchesne County west and southwest of Roosevelt. The district serves approximately 4,300 equivalent residential connections, of which 700 equivalent residential connections, of which 700 are residential, actual.
Lisa, could you come up and address the question? Lisa's with the divisional.
So would you repeat the question?
One where you get the Magi.
We get it from the state tax assessor's office.
So you'll have to turn the microphone on, I think.
We get it from the state tax office.
So is that based on zip code or town?
For Johnson, it's a combination. I believe we used Roosevelt. We used the Magi of 49,035.
Okay, so majority of our water sold out of Mighton. Magi is what, 36 something?
I can find out real quick. Well, maybe not real quick, but.
So while you're looking that up, Mr. Zanotti, did you have some questions?
Yes. Mr. Taylor, since 2011, this board has given $1.5 million in grants, $735,000 in loans, all for water system improvement. Can you explain how that money got spent, and we're still giving some more money or asking for some more money?
So those loans and grants went to, we have a 2 million gallon tank. Is that what you wanted to know? Which, what,
right,
where,
just what which project, how we would spend those monies.
Okay. Then we put in, we have one called Mortensen Lane project. It was like 4 miles of pipeline. We had a Hartford pipeline. It was about 3.5 miles. We had a Highway 40 project when they did redid the highway out there. They widened it. And so while they were doing that, they paid for most of the relocation of our lines. But while they were in construction, we added some more infrastructure and lines along the highway to make our system better during that time. So that one of them, some of those grants and loans went to that as well.
Question?
Thank you.
Yes, Commissioner Lytle.
As a producing county, it looks like most of it's been at 0%, and I would make a recommendation that we look at that as for consistency where they're in a producing county. The other thing I'm curious about as a question, if it was to go on the loan side, and I'm certain that's not where you want to go, but if it was, you've got a loan that's coming up due in 5 years, 6 years?
Yeah, that's the loan on the 2 million gallon tank, I think.
Right. Would it be less painful if we were to look at a deferment of when those payments would start till closer to when that one is completed?
Have to defer that one.
What?
That would be too long of a deferral.
It's too long.
How long can we go?
And they have to pay interest.
I understand the interest would be up to that point. And then on the 160, pardon?
4 years.
Even with the 4 years, if that would fit into your schedule better, knowing that you would have to double up for two of those years, at least relative to the fact that the one would be going away. And then on the 160, if it was the whole 168 where you kept your cash, would you be asking for more to cover the bond payment or the bond attorney? And then what do we figure that? He said 20 or 30, but it seems like 10 to 20, 10 to 15 is closer.
He's had some big projects, and so those are probably significant costs. But this one would not be. It'd be probably around 10.
Around 10. So there'd be an adjustment there. And so with the motion that's on the table, would you be willing to reconsider any of those things with your motion? Sure.
Well, I haven't made a motion. I posed a question of whether he wanted additional. I mean, I'm more than willing, but I was wondering.
I thought the motion was on the table.
I was still.
You were in the discernment process.
Right. Whether he wanted more since we are lending. My feeling is to go to loan, 100% loan.
And with that loan, could you see a lower percentage based on the fact that they're a producing county?
Well, you know, they're still, based on the Magi, I would, sure, I would be flexible on that. Maybe that'd be a substitute motion or so. But, I mean, based on the Magi and how it affects their rates, you know, it's just so low that they can really, based on the information provided, they would be able to, you know, comfortably afford it at 2.5%.
But let's go. I'm sorry, Greg.
No, that's it.
Lisa, did you get those numbers for Mighton?
So Mighton, they have a much lower MAGI. It's 37,000. However, what sort of playing into the calculation are their number of ERCs relative to the relatively low cost of the project? That's why anyway
you define the ERCs for us. What does that mean?
Equivalent residential connections. So we split up. We're showing 700 actual residential units, and then we apply the institutional commercial because, you know, to compare apples to apples, so that a hospital or a hotel, even though it's maybe one connection, is not equivalent to one connection. And they probably shouldn't or wouldn't pay the same water rate. So that's why 700 residential connections, but like 4,000 equivalent residential connections.
So with that, Greg, we'll go back to you for your original motion.
And so let's do this on a motion. And assuming since it's pending, they could modify that come the...
Yeah, it'll be placed on the priority list for funding in February.
Okay. Let's do this. My motion is to make a loan, a 30-year loan, at 2%. For $175,000, $175,000, to try to cover additional bonding costs. 30 years, 2%, $175,000. That's my motion.
Mayor Baker?
I'm good with that. I'll second that.
So we have a motion and a second.
30 years may exceed the life of this particular project, if I recall. It's a pumps, equipment, so I just wanted to...
So 20 years 20 is the recommendation years. From DEQ?
That was in the packet. Not
okay,
was,
sorry.
Yeah. So I just wanted the board to be aware
I modified
of that.
It to 20 years.
So modified the motion to 20 years.
$175,000, 2%.
And a second by Dean.
And I'm good with that. Yeah.
Second. Further discussion on that motion?
Could I say something here?
Yes, please, go ahead.
I think that they would rather have a... If they're going to have a loan, they'd rather have it much lower. They'd rather still put in the $68,000 to $70,000 cash and then have a lower rate loan. I mean, a lower loan amount.
So lower principal? So 112, 100 and whatever thousand to...
112 should cover.
102. So a substitute motion with those things, I think with 112,000 to cover the bond part of it, as loan at 2%, I'd prefer to go down to 0%. I don't know if we'd have that as a company, but with the Magi the way it is, I'm going to extend this and excuse me as I discuss it and try to make the motion. That's based on how many? Is it based on years of how many years of?
That's just like 2017 data, isn't it?
Right, yeah.
So the water use, even 2017, is probably reflective of this year or close. So I guess I'll make the similar motion with the change being 112,000. Well, I have the floor. I guess I'll go to 1.5%. With that in mind, as well as, what about the deferral? Do you need it or want it for 4 years?
No, I don't think we need it.
Okay.
So the motion on the table is $112,000 for 20 years at 1.5% interest rate. Is there a second to the motion?
Substitute motion.
Yes, thank you for that clarification. The substitute motion.
I'll second.
We have a second by Commissioner Hansen. Any further discussion on the motion, the substitute motion? Okay, seeing none, all in favor, aye.
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 All those opposed by the same sign? That carries unanimously. We'll put on the priority list for funding at our February meeting. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much.
And welcome back, Mr. Chairman.
That was my excuse, to just take a break from the meeting, so I appreciate it. Thank you, Keith and board, for handling that. Our next applicant is the town of Tabiona and Candace. We'll invite them up, and Candace, will you give us a briefing on this project?
Number two on today's agenda is from the town of Tabiona for water system improvements. It includes a new tank and spring rehabilitation. The total request to CIB is $2,608,000, of which there's a $652,030 year at 0% loan and a $1,956,000 grant. Tabiona is in Uinta County.
Duchesne County.
Yeah. Tabiona is in Duchesne County. Whoops.
Geography refresher. So.
Yeah, a refresher course. This project will consist of constructing a new culinary concrete storage tank, 150,000 gallon, some lines, some gate valves, and this is on appurtenances that will take from the new tank to 4050 North and North Tabby Lane. Then there's a gate valves and appurtenances that for redeveloping the spring located on 1100 Mount Tabby Road. This includes water rights and rights of way negotiation and acquisition. The Division of Drinking Water has indicated this is an aging system. It's insufficient flow during fire events, insufficient storage during the flow event, fire flow events, and lack of redundancy. It was constructed in the early 1980s, and now it's nearly 40 years old. So this is probably a project that is due. A 50-50 loan grant scenario would be a $1,304,000 grant, $1,304,000 30-year, which might be too long of a term, 2.5%, but that puts the Magi at 1.76%. This was identified by the division as not providing the peak day demand data for 2018 also. They've also recommended that Tabiona incorporate all necessary metering and data collection equipment into this project to be able to provide peak day demand data as required.
Great. We have our applicants with us. Will you please introduce yourselves?
My name is Charlie Strebel, Mayor of Tabiona.
John Brightfield, town councilman.
Aaron Avery with Sunrise Engineering.
Great. Welcome.
We've been working with Aaron for almost a year now on this project, so that's why he's here with us. She's pretty much summed up our project. We're willing to answer any questions.
Okay. Short summary. All right, we'll go to the board with questions.
Are you indeed in Duchesne County?
Yes, we are. You know, sometimes you might get in trouble for throwing us into UN County, you know.
Commissioner Hansen.
Thank you, Mayor. Appreciate you guys being here today. Tell us what, you know, are you starting to see some growth, and what do you, of course, fire flows are very important because we, of course, we had the Dollar Ridge fire, and we know that fire is definitely something that we're all concerned about, making sure that we can fight wildfires and other fires, especially that might be in that area where CITLA owns a large portion. Tell us a little bit about what you're seeing and what you're trying to prepare for as far as growth and other things related to wildfires.
So right now we're on, for fire flow, if you were to hook into our system right now and you were to, I think it was for less than 8 hours, you would completely drain the system. And if where we're situated, if something happened on Tabby Mountain, which they'd probably be pumping out of the river too, plus using the system, we would be completely out of water in less than 8 hours, which would be total draw on the river if pending the water was there that they could do that. So as far as growth goes in our community, we have an opportunity for annexation of property in the future, but we're still, this project is going to help broaden our horizon in them directions.
Mr. Chairman.
Mr. Zanotti.
What are your water rates and how many people you serve?
We're serving 174 people now, and our water rate is $23 per household.
When was the last time you raised the water rate?
Not sure.
Yeah,
no, it hasn't happened while I've been mayor, and that's been for the last 6 years, so.
Okay. Thank you.
Yeah, the plan is to raise it in January if we are set forth this program.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Mr. Mayor. Mr. Baker.
Thank you. Mayor, do you have anything set up for impact fees for any new growth to help them pay into the system as they come online?
We just went through and redid all of our ordinances and impacts, so yes, there is. We do have that. We have a new website and everything for if somebody was to come in and build, we have a program laid out. Yes.
Do you know how much that is for impacts for a resident and one for commercial?
What is that? Not right off the top of my head, no. But there is.
But you got one in place.
Yes.
Mr. Glucky.
So, studying the information in the packet, this is kind of where I'm at on this. You know, if you went a 50-50 at 1.5%, they're really approaching their magi at one. That'd be 1.61%. Now, they have most of they're financially strong, with the exception that they have all their debt structured, that it's all within like the first 10 years. And after that, they're really financially strong, if I'm reading the packet correctly. The other part that I see is that in the minutes, they said, you know, they were going to go for grant even before looking at the financial review of, you know, what they could afford. Actually, and then with how much of the equipment only lasts for 20 years, I'd make a motion at 60%, and I don't know the numbers, Candace, so you have to help me with it, at a 60% grant, 40% loan, 1% for 20 years.
I'd second that motion.
Okay, I'm going to get some numbers here, but a motion has been made by Mr. Galecki, seconded by Commissioner Ogden.
So can I say something?
You may, Mayor.
So we had a meeting, not last night, but the night before. So we're stronghold here where we can actually truly be, and that doesn't fall within our abilities, correct?
Correct.
Yeah.
So, Commissioner Galecki, in your that comment was received very well at the UBAG meeting when the reviews happened as well, too. And so the town did have a really hard discussion on Tuesday night about the finances and look at the finances. And some of those conclusions, as we were witness to that, too, was that they looked at those finances. You can imagine in a system where your total budget for the year is under $100,000 for income and expenses, that to take on a loan that's, you know, $40,000 a year payment is increasing their user rates by a huge margin. And so that's why we've prepared, and the town was wanted to talk about that they could take on something that was in, well, Mayor, if you want to talk about what you did talk about as far as the yearly payments that you felt like you could afford based on the finances.
Should I just cut to our bottom line? So our bottom line was a, 70% grant and 30% loan.
Which is what they show.
At 1% interest. Or if we can get 0% interest, we'd rather have that.
May I?
Mr. Lytle?
With your rating, what's your rate increase? I assume you're putting a rate increase on to be able to do that?
Yes.
Or is that with under the current
rate? No, that's
rate?
Bringing up a rate increase.
From what to what?
From 23 to 40, The water bill would be 43 something, somewhere in there.
In that range.
A month.
Yeah. So it'd be $22 increase per household.
Almost double.
It would almost double, but we don't think that we can do it all at once. We're going to have to take it in steps.
Oh, so you're not. So what's your plan?
We were going to increase it the first time probably $12 a month, say for the first year or 2 years, and then gradually get it up to this.
And so under the 70-30 scenario, which is what you proposed, that's what you can handle?
That's something that we can perceivably handle, yes. We could handle that. That was our bottom line. Anything less than that, we'd have to go back to the drawing board.
Right now, isn't the application, if I did the math right, is 25% rather than 30%?
Yeah, a 70-30 split would be a $1,825,600 grant and a $782,400 loan. Those are the numbers. We have to round up a little bit if we get to a motion there, but that's a 70-30 split.
Mr. Chairman,
Mr. Znati,
I would like to grant Mayor's wish of the Merry Christmas for 30-70, 1% loan.
So a substitute motion by Mr. Znati to approve a $1 million. I'm going to round some numbers here.
Okay.
$825,000 grant and a $783,000 loan.
Is that 20 years, Mayor, you wanted 20 years and 1%? Or is it 30 years?
30 years at 1%?
1%.
Okay. That substitute motion's in order. Is there a second?
I'll second.
A second from Commissioner Hansen. Further discussion of the substitute motion?
Why can we do 30 on this one and we only do 20 on the other one?
Because of a question?
This project's a concrete forest tank.
Yep.
It doesn't have any mechanical.
The chlorinator would be the only.
Yeah. The structure-wise, this is different than from the one we did before. This has a concrete base, no.
Further questions or discussion to the substitute motion? Okay. Seeing none. Again, I'll repeat, the substitute motion is to approve a $1,825,000 grant and a $783,000 loan, 30 years, 1%. All in favor of that motion, say aye.
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 Any opposed? That motion carries unanimously, and it will be on the priority list for our February funding meeting.
Thank you.
Thank you
so much.
Thank you, all of you.
Our next applicant is the Castle Valley Special Service District. We'll invite them up to the table, turn some time over to Candace for a briefing on this project.
Number 3 on the agenda today is from Castle Valley Special Service District. This is their 2020 Consolidated Capital Projects application, which they bring in annually. This type of project has been accommodated through a general obligation bond, which they put to the voters. It did recently receive the vote in November and passed. So the request here is a $1,772,000 total CIB and a $1 million 6 year at 2.5% loan and a $772,000 grant. This is the Castle Valley Special Service District is in Emory County. They have applicant cash they're going to put to it. These types of projects that they bring in annually go for a few years, and the bond is to cover several years of this. So they've done their homework to figure out what this year's expense towards that bond will be. This project will consist of developing streets and city surface drainage in Elmo, Cleveland, Huntington, Castledale, and Farron, and also developing streets in Orangeville, Emory, and Clawson, in conjunction with UDOT on Main Street and Highway 10, and culinary water line replacement in Orangeville and Farron. So it's a consolidated capital project that most of you are aware of and have been through. $290,050 is water-related. It primarily addresses this particular tranche primarily addresses road work and drainage issues with a little bit of water system improvements. And with that...
Commissioner Adams?
When you're ready, I'll make a motion.
Let's get our applicants just to at least record that they're here, so on the record, and then we can turn some time there. So please introduce yourselves.
Thank you. I'm Jacob Sharp, manager of Castle Valley Special Service District. I've got Alex Buxton with Zions Bank Public Finance and Merrill Johansson, Johansson and Tuttle Engineering. I do want to point out we recently did do a bond election, like Candace said. So the one that we've been going on expired this year. So I started in this job 10 years ago, and we had done a bond election right then. We utilized it for the past 10 years. 2009 to 2019, well, 2010, the bond election was in 2009, so 2010 to 2019, we proposed a $14 million general obligation bond to our voters that approved at the 73% approval rating. As many of you are aware, we incrementally borrow against that general obligation bond authorization, so a million roughly at a time. We, of course, try and leverage that with some grant money here, and we very much appreciate that and the opportunity to do that. And so we extend that $14 million out over the next 10 years. That would be our intention, and we very much support, thank, are grateful for the support of the board and Candace, the staff, and all the help that we get. So thank you. Open to any other questions that you have.
Mr. Adams?
No.
Commissioner Ogden.
I just want to, as I've read through this application, I just want to commend them, you know, being able to put this and use this over 8 or 9 communities. I think that's a great project. And reading through it, I thought it was really well put together. Thank you.
Mayor Thank Baker. You. Appreciate that.
Just one question for them. I kind of put some numbers together. Would you be willing to consider a $500,000 grant and $1,272,000 loan at 2.5% for 10 years versus your 6 years that you asked? That'd make your payments just a little less than what you're requesting. It extended for 4 years. Would you be willing to consider that?
We typically try and keep the payment around that 5 to 6 year mark. A lot of the construction we're doing is street construction, and when you extend, you know, when you go further than 6 or 7 years, we're doing maintenance work on that, whether it's crack seal, chip seal type stuff. And so I don't want to, just because I don't want to be paying on a loan or a project that we're then maintaining 7 or 8 years later, or putting money in to maintain it. So try and have it paid off before the maintenance rolls around on the street portion of it. So I hope that makes sense.
Mr. Zanotti?
I just have a friendly question from Jacob. For the yes. last 5 years, you've been so nice to bring 50-50, 2.5%. Why be naughty this year?
I'm less than 50-50. That should be more nicer, right? We look at numbers with Alex, and we have a bond structure, or a debt structure that we pay each year, and we try and do our best to keep that level for the citizens, so we don't see an increase in our tax rate. Our property tax is what pays for this, and so we try and structure it with the help of Zions Bank Public Finance so that we can keep a debt structure that's level and projects into the future, that as we pay off old debt, we can add new and continue kind of in this program that we've established over the last 30 years.
What is your timeline to start a project to finish?
2020 construction year for this?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Timeline is closing March. Use the 2020 construction season. For example, the last, like this year, the projects that we've done this year, we have one. What this amounts to is it ends up as several projects, contractors going at once. We have one that's still going right now, trying to get it wrapped up before the weather gets too bad. So it would be something similar to that. But, yeah, we start in the late spring to summer months and construct through the summer and fall and a little bit into the winter and hopefully have it shut down before the weather gets too bad.
Thank you.
And can I just add something to Mr. Zanotti's question? You're right. I think in the past, oftentimes the CIB has provided 50% grant, 50% loan. In this case, it's less than 50% of the grant, and we would more than welcome a proposal from Mr. Zanotti to do the 50-50 grant loan mix like we've done in the past. In fact, that was something that had been considered. So we would certainly welcome that if that's something that the board would be willing to do.
That was one of the Bazinga moments. I wanted to see if everybody's awake.
We won't be calling on Mr. Zanotti the rest of the meeting. Mr. Galecki.
It's kind of adding to both Mayor Ogden, it's not Mayor, it's Commissioner Ogden and Mayor Baker's comments that, appreciate the planning and the structures and have a general obligation bond on this, because you do it every year, just like you said. I think, and not to blindside you, I'm comfortable with doing, and one of my questions was when are they going to rebond to see when to reevaluate, the structure. I guess where I'm at is that I'm ready for approval this year, but prior to but what I'd like to do is have staff and work with to see if that this is the best mix that we can do from a from the board perspective, and that our staff like to do it prior to next year's renewal as they come in. So that's where I'm at. Just because then with Mr. Mayor Baker, I just want to make sure that we're doing the best we can for the for the board. So that was a long diatribe other than to say that I appreciate your application, but I'd like to see if we, review it better next year.
Okay. Mr. Lytle.
On the culinary pipeline part of it, is that in conjunction, is your special service district manage the water system as well?
Culinary water, yes.
Water, it's part of, and roads?
Streets, secondary water, sewer collection, sewer treatment, yeah.
Right. Thank you.
Mr. Adams.
Well, I'm impressed that they come in with more, requesting more loan than the last two or three years. They've always come in with 50-50, like Naughty says. And, Greg, I think they're doing the analysis. I think they're already doing the analysis with Alex. They're trying to leverage what they think the board would help the board already.
You're probably right. I didn't think that into consideration.
They're coming in with nearly a 60-40 this year when they probably could have come in with 50-50 and we probably would have considered that. But they're saying, hey, we can afford a little more loan with I don't know if interest rates has anything to do with it, but for some reason they're coming in with the 60-40. So, man, I'm proud of them.
Yeah.
I'm tickled to death that they're willing to do these kind of an analysis on their own. I make a motion we approve it as requested.
Second.
Okay, motion made by Commissioner Adams, seconded by Mr. Galecki, to approve a $1 million, 6-year, 2.5% loan, and a $772,000 grant.
Question.
Further discussion. Yes, Commissioner Lytle.
I noticed on Johnson Water, about 18% on engineering. I noticed a trend toward, on this project, I think it's 15%.
They're not going to up the engineering.
No, I'm wondering if we're creeping a little bit on our engineering, at least what we've been comfortable with in the past. Just want to make sure people are looking at that as well. Not challenging the motion at all.
Other discussion? Seeing none, put the motion to a vote. Again, that's a $1 million, six-year, 2.5% loan and a $772,000 grant. All in favor of that motion, say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Any opposed? Seeing none, that motion passes unanimously. That will be on the February funding meeting on the priority list.
Thank you, everybody.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
You guys good for one more before break?
Sure.
All right. Town of Tropic. We'll invite them up to the table. And Candace, a briefing on this project, please.
Number four on today's agenda is the Town of Tropic for water system improvements. It's for spring redevelopment and water rights. The request, total request to CIB is $785,000. Of which there is a $393,030 year at 2.5% loan and a $392,000 grant. This town is in Garfield County. The issue.
Are you sure?
I waited for a dissent.
What county is this in?
They have $100,000 in applicant cash. It will redevelop the Spring Creek Spring to increase flow and accommodate water use agreements to exchange non-potable water for spring water. It will replace pipe and fittings along 50 South and Bryce Way and north along 500 West and 100 North. There will be radio read meters and software. The spring redevelopment will include liner and collection pipe and fittings. The Tropic drinking water system currently serves 328 residential connections and 57 commercial and institutional connections. This corresponds to approximately 580 ERCs, according to Lisa. The town faces a source capacity deficiency in the near future. It has undersized 4-inch and 6-inch pipe, which do not provide the required distribution capacity for fire flow requirements in many areas of the system. In order to begin to address this, the town intends to replace the 6-inch and 4-inch pipe with new 12-inch pipe. This also runs along in front of the elementary school. You want to make sure that there is enough fire flow for the elementary school. That's a soapbox. Mine. A full loan for this amount of $785,000, 20-year at 2.5%, would put their MADGI, according to Division of Drinking Water, at 0.84%. They're not providing the peak day source demand data for 2018. So again, on this project, they also recommend that Tropic Town incorporate the necessary metering and data collection equipment so they'll be able to provide the required data in the future. That is the Town of Tropic.
That's all there is about the Town of Tropic, apparently. So, but we have some our applicants with us. Maybe they can tell us a little more. Please introduce yourselves.
No.
Fresh and out water operator.
Size of the
Wade LaBrica, Mayor of Tropic.
Ken Tuttle with Sunrise Engineering.
Dane Shakespeare of Tropic.
Jesse Rouse, Sunrise Engineering.
And we just had you here, it seems like.
It wasn't real long ago.
Yeah. Sewer Lagoons, I guess, is what we did prior. But, yes, please tell us about the project.
All right. Thank you, Mr. Chairman, members of the board, for considering our project for funding. We're indeed grateful for the opportunity to be here. I just want to emphasize that we have conducted a study of our water system, and the results of the study indicate that we're quickly approaching the 200 gallons per minute we're entitled to in the Spring Creek Spring, along with a few other problems and issues that were identified. I also wanted to emphasize that this project is basically four small projects in one project, but four important and essential projects. The first is the redevelopment of parts of the Spring Creek Spring. The second is upgrading the water lines, which feed the brand-new elementary school, which Candace alluded to. It's an elementary school, brand-new, $8 to $12 million building in Tropic, but it houses elementary students from Canville, Tropic, Rice Canyon City, and Henryville. Third is installation of the radial meters to improve efficiency, increase accuracy, enable us to better manage our water system. And fourth, water right work requisite to future growth of the town. We recognize we need to be doing all that we can do. We have recently increased our water base rates, $9 per month on residents, incorporated a new tiered overage system, and cut the allotted gallons from 12,000 gallons per month to 10,000 gallons per month. The average resident seen a 37% plus increase in their water bills, which is a substantial impact to the residents of our town of 600 people. We're also paying for a study which was conducted and putting $100,000 of our own cash in the project, which also impacts our small budget. We're trying to do all we can do to rectify these critical and important deficiencies we found, and we welcome all help you might see fit to give us, and we thank you for your consideration.
Great. Thank you, Mayor. Let's go to the board with questions. This is the meeting of water, I guess, so.
Mm-hmm. It is.
Mr. Zanotti.
I just want to make a comment on the minutes, Mayor. Beautifully written minutes and explaining to citizens what exactly you're trying to do. I'm impressed with that rather than just simply we're going from CIB to CIB, we're going to ask for the grant. If they don't want to give us a grant, maybe loan. But this exactly explains and the promise that you made to them that you're not going to raise any more rates, that the money that you have collected is already paying and you were available to do what was needed. So that's my comment to you and your staff. Thank you.
Thank you, sir.
Commissioner Ogden.
Yes, I just had a comment here. Why is the engineering cost so high on this project? You guys are 23%. You're talking about kind of, is that because Tropic's a long ways out there or what?
Well, because they have two engineers this morning, that's why.
I'm the reason.
They're both turning red. So.
If I can speak to that.
Yeah, if you can just get close to the microphone and speak into it, please. Thank you.
The water project as it stands by itself without the water rights, you'll notice the engineering is actually quite low in percentage. But there's a water rights component of that that's fairly independent of the distribution system improvements, the source improvements. The town is working with the irrigation company and planning to do so into the future to secure the water rights they need to be able to continue providing water. So that piece of it is separate. It's not part of the design or the construction cost. It's consultation, it's coordination, and it's water rights actions coordinating between the town and the irrigation company. So in a nutshell, it's its own piece that the town thought it would be effective to go ahead and include that as part of the project in order to push them through together, both the deficiencies on the engineering side as well as the funding side. And there's momentum right now with the irrigation company and the town to make that happen. That's not, you don't always see that in communities where they work together to achieve a common benefit, but that's what they're working towards with this work. So.
Okay, appreciate those comments. That's the only question I have. I would make a motion that we approve this as presented.
Second on the motion, Mr. Chairman.
So a motion by Commissioner Ogden, seconded by Mr. Zanotti.
I make a substitute motion.
Hang tight. We'll get there. to approve a $393,000 30-year loan, 2.5%, and a $392,000 grant. Okay. And Mayor Baker, comments?
And I appreciate your concerns and discussions of trying to what you're doing, and I think these water rights are critical. Do as I read the application, but as small as this whole thing is, as I sit down and calculate and looked at what your water rates now, I have them at $21.49. Is that correct?
That is not correct. We just raised them to from 24 to 33.
They're at 33 now?
$33 right now, collecting. It started in June.
That's what he said.
Okay, because I was going to say at that rate, if you took it all in loan at 2.5% for 20 years, you'd only increase your payment $7 a month, and that would have brought you up to 28. So I understand. I did not know that. So I think I'm good. I'll back off on that.
Further discussion? Seeing none, restating the motion before us is to approve a $393,000 30-year loan, 2.5%, and a $392,000 grant. All in favor of that motion, say aye.
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 Any opposed? That motion passes unanimously. It'll be on the February funding meeting on the priority list.
Thank you.
Thank
you. Each and every one of you so much. We appreciate it.
Let's take a... We will take a 10-minute break and be back at 9:46. Seats.
Hi, Dave.
Kyle, they all abandoned you over there, so... Oh, here they come, so... Okay, back to order here. We have the town of Minersville as our next project to consider. We'll invite... Oh, they're already at the table. Great, you guys are ahead of the curve there.
Did Jesse leave?
Just kept the seat warm.
Okay, you just sat there.
And we'll turn the time to Candace for a briefing on this project.
Number 5 on the agenda today is the town of Minersville.
And surprise, it's water. Water.
Now, normally CIB, if they would have had a third meeting for this review, all water projects would have been on the third meeting, and you'd still see an all water meeting. But we would like to thank all the applicants who made their effort to complete all of the required information to provide an opportunity to be on this agenda, which allowed us to be succinct in our meeting agendas. This is a little out of order, but I'd like to thank Commissioner Tudor Ogden for helping us set up the room yesterday.
Wow.
He didn't want me to say anything, so, but he did. He came
that's
early.
Why
and
so precise.
Good job.
He's a Renaissance man.
That's why I got a little extra bacon today.
Okay, thank you for that delay, Town of Minersville. This is for 2020 Water Improvement Project. They're requesting $700,000 from the CIB, of which there's $490,000 30-year at 1% loan and a $210,000 grant. They are currently at 1.8 of MAGI. So they're in Beaver County, I believe. Beaver County, I'm not
correct.
Sure.
You believe?
This project will consist of water system improvements to include developing an additional spring collection pipeline and renovating the spring pump system. It has a lot of detail if you'll read about that. And the town of Minersville is approximately 18 miles southwest of Beaver. The Division of Drinking Water has assessed deficiencies to Minersville with regards to their existing chlorination facility, and this project will address that. The MAGI scenario of a $400,000 grant and a $300,000 loan at 30-year would be, at 0%, would be 1.75. So that kind of is taking a different trajectory than what you normally do, but that puts them rather than 1.8% of MAGI brings them to a 1.75. It was also stated in the Division of Drinking Water assessment that the elementary school barely meets the fire flow. And so with that, I will turn time over to Chairman Hardy.
Great. Okay, we have our applicants here. Please introduce yourselves.
I'm Mayor Caleb Evans.
Jesse Ralphs of Sunrise Engineering.
I'm Colby Blackner, Minersville Town Council.
I'm Brandon Davis. I work for the city. He's our water guy.
Okay, good. He's here to answer the hard questions. So
that's right. He's the shovel operator.
Anything you want to add to the project description?
I think it's pretty clear on what we're asking, but we do lose about 7,800 gallons of water from our spring, and that's part of the reason for the project, as well as supplying sufficient water to the elementary school. So thank you for your time, Mel.
Okay, everybody's geared up for water questions, so go to the board for questions. I guess they're not geared up. Mr. Zanotti.
I just have a question from Lisa. On your option table that you had provided to us, on the page 3, you have 3070, 3070. Both of them are shown the same percentage, but the numbers, the grants and the loans. Yeah. Is it a typo? Or how do we read that?
I'm sorry. That is a typo. The second one was meant to show the combination of loan grant that would get the number 1.7 out of 40.
Okay. So, yeah, I did check my eyes last month, but I just wondered to see if I'm reading it right.
Well, next year's 2020.
Well, next month, yeah.
Thank you for that.
If I may just speak to that briefly.
Yes,
the town did meet with their accountant. There were numbers worked. They realized that they were right at that threshold in consideration of precedents and qualifications. They've presented the request as it is. The numbers obviously show a little bit different here with a higher percentage on their MAGI, and so that's just to speak to the little bit of a different trajectory that Candace talked about there, as they've tried to be responsible and staying within what they would qualify for while still trying to leverage the funds that they have with what the board might be able to do.
Mr. Glucky.
I'd like to point out that, yeah, they're at the 1.75 or 1.80, and you're willing to take on loan to accommodate things. So I think that's really good. And I'm just curious. There wasn't any matching funds. Is that because talk about that? Why you don't have any matching funds?
Far as like a 50-50?
No. So the project is for, if I'm reading it correctly, it's a $700,000 project, and it's all coming from the board. There's no, you're not bringing any money in with it.
Right, yeah. We do have a bond right now. We will pay off, I believe, next month. But yeah, we're just coming to the board for what we have now.
Well, I'd make a motion if there's.
It's an order.
I have one comment.
Okay. All right, we'll get the comment first, I guess. So, Commissioner Adams.
I just spent 5 days at the National Finals Rodeo. Are there no cowboys in Minersville? I know there are some in Milford.
They're on their way out.
There's a few. Yeah.
There's not enough water there to provide for the water.
If they got more water, there'd be more cowboys.
They don't grow tall anymore because there's no water.
Okay.
Are you suggesting that as an outcome metric in our contract?
Well, I don't know. It's just on my mind. I mean, Beaver County, they're pretty famous.
Used to
Milford.
Yeah, they are. Used to be.
And the Wright brothers. And
we showed them Wright boys everything they know. So they might not claim that.
I'm sure they'll be interested to hear that.
I actually coached Jake and Jesse when they were in high school in baseball, so I can say a little bit. I did teach them a little bit, but then there wasn't no Saddle Bronc stuff.
Stetson had his coach at the gold buckle ceremony after he won the first round, and he didn't look at all like you.
I just got this yesterday.
He played for the Dolphins.
Okay, back to...
Whoever. Oh, I will.
Do you have a question?
Oh, no, Galecki.
I'll go to Mr. Galecki for a motion.
He has a floor.
I'll go with motion of, as projected, number two from the drinking water as a $400,000 grant, $300,000 loan at 1% for 30 years. And now it puts them at the magi of 1.75. I thought I must misheard. What I'd like, because what I'd like to do is get a percent on. I would like to work it out. To is there somewhere that they show a interest rate of let's say 1% and still?
Yeah, we can do a 0% loan.
So I'd like to do a 1% to get it out of the Mineral Lease.
Okay.
Well, Mineral Lease is
one.
No, you don't have to have a percent bonus is what you want to get.
Yeah. Well, what would it be the bonus? Is that...
At interest.
Yeah.
He means to get it out of being in the mineral lease account into something else, so... Yeah, 1% is fine.
The mineral lease was the red one, wasn't it?
Want to do it?
Yes.
So the motion's at 1%, and that would take it out of the bonus account.
Okay. I'm pausing because I'd like to get it at... Get it out of the bonus, but I'd like to change the mix so it's still at 1.75%. Is what I'm
it's going to be very close to 1.75 even with 1%.
Yeah. Okay. So let's do as I stated then.
Okay.
And then
is there a second to that motion?
Oh, I do.
A second from Mr. Zanotti. Okay. Further comment? Commissioner Lytle?
Engineering is like 18%. Again, has it got, can you explain that?
Yes. Well, I can't explain the 18%. When I worked it up, it was 15% of the project. A portion of pre-construction is about 7%. The remaining is in survey and easements and construction engineering.
Well, according to our sheet, it's 9% pre-construction, 1% special, and 8% construction.
I can't speak to what's on the sheet up there. I'm sorry.
Yeah, on the review sheets, how will we just take the amount that you've indicated for pre-engineering?
Yes, okay.
From the total amount.
Okay.
And get a percentage, each one of them or separately, just for the construction amount, not the contingency.
I see. Okay. So other than what's on there, I would just say that the pre-construction obviously is covering the design. The special services would be the survey and the easements that would be required for a portion of the project. And then the construction engineering, that's typically proposed as a time and materials service. It's a budget number. What the town requests is what is provided there. If they request less involvement, then that certainly can go down. But that's based on some part-time observation and management of the contract.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Commissioner
Ogden. Now, is this in your project, is this going to get rid of all your old cast iron piping and everything so you don't have to deal with that anymore?
Yeah, that should eliminate all of our cast iron.
Okay.
Mr. Glucky.
I guess I had a question, too, as far as, and Commissioner Leiter brought up a good thing. Is there much engineering that goes with replacement of lines? Could you address that?
Sure. So the replacement of lines, as far as how much engineering goes into it, one thing to note on a the engineering services, there are several tasks that you do regardless of what's involved or what the size of it is. So on a larger project, you'll see that percentage go down. And on a smaller project, it's typically that percent of construction cost goes up just because there are certain things that happen regardless. As far as putting pipe in the ground, that's not a complex engineering project. Spring redevelopment, reconfiguring a spring booster pump system, installing the chlorinator system, building a new portion for that. We're actually breaking off the pressure zones. Right now they're configured a little bit ineffective, so there's reconfiguration of a pressure zone and putting in a PRV station. So as far as there are a lot of engineering, there's elements of it. The whole thing's designed and put on plans and specifications and reviewed by Drinking Water and then put out to bid. So,
Mayor Baker.
Just one question and maybe more of a comment in there, because I know for us on water lines and doing, we have not only pre-construction and construction, but after construction, we get an as-built type thing that shows where the things are in the ground, how they run. We actually have pictures and stuff, and I'm sure you do the same, which it does add to the cost, I guess I'm telling, to that construction, especially on water and sewer lines. But it also gives benefit to the water companies that they know where things are and can pull them up and visualize it and see it, and it does add to the benefit.
Thank you. That's exactly right. The town's actually invested in a water mapping system right now where they'll be in a position where we can do that, take pictures, map it with a GPS unit. They'll have a very good set of as-builts once the project's finished.
Mr. Chairman.
Mr. Zanotti.
Respectfully, I would like to yield my second of the motion to Mayor Baker. His hand was up before I opened my big fat mouth.
He pointed to you.
Quicker than me,
he pointed to you, so it's standing. So
he's good. No, you're fine.
Further discussion?
Is the reason we can go to 30 years is that because it's mostly pipe in the ground as opposed to the chlorination system?
Mm-hmm. Is moving parts on pumps and chlorination systems will have a 20-year shelf life. Anything in the ground, the stuff that they use is a 30-year concrete.
Right.
Okay, seeing no further discussion, the motion before us is to approve a $400,000 30-year loan at 1% and a $300,000 grant.
No.
The opposite of that.
Opposite.
Sorry. $300,000 loan, 30-year, 1%, and a $400,000 grant. Correct? Mm-hmm. I've stated this correctly. Okay. And loan 30-year, 1%. All in favor of that motion, say aye.
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 Any opposed? Seeing none, that motion passes unanimously. It's been on the priority list for the February funding meeting.
All right. Thank you. Thank you for your time.
Thank you. Okay. Our next project is Millard County. Invite them to the table. And Candace, give us a briefing on this project.
Number six on the agenda today is Millard County. They are coming in for a care center dining room renovation. The request is $500,000 in grant funding. There is no other cash. This project consists of a new care center dining room by expanding the existing building to include a hallway and creates a 1,725 square feet room with new exterior walls, roof, climate control, lighting, plumbing, doors, windows, concrete, power, safety engineering, etc. The State Board of Health, they indicate that the State Board of Health has decided that the dining room facilities need to be updated and expanded. Might want to hear that this is a mandate from the State Board of Health, not sure. Resident patrons are currently dining along the sides of the hallway, which is not cool. If a dining room is not added to the facility, operations will cease. Is that accurate? They're utilizing an existing part of the current building, and an area including an existing hallway will be expanded to create a 1,725 square foot area. The Millard Care and Rehabilitation Center is owned by Millard County, so it is an eligible project, eligible applicant. It is operated by Traditions Healthcare, which is a management company. They have 5 other facilities around the state. This one happens to be owned by Millard County, and I believe other counties own the other ones, but it's Traditions Healthcare. So with that, it's just for a new dining room. It's 100% grant, and I turn the time over to Chairman Hardy.
Okay, we have our applicants with us. Please introduce yourselves.
I'm Dean Draper, member of the Millard County Commission.
I'm Tony Dearden. I'm the chairman of the Millard Care and Rehab Board.
I'm Byron Kroger. I'm the administrator of the facility.
Sherry Dearden, Millard County Treasurer.
Okay. Anything you want to add to the project description?
Yes.
Okay. Thank you.
I would like to first thank the Brenda in particular for helping us get through this. The reason that we have come is this was an unexpected mandate for us. It was not in our budget system, was not prepared for, and I'd like to explain a little bit of that as we go through. First, I'd like to give you a physiology lesson. In the brain, there is a portion of it that is called the hippocampus. The hippocampus is responsible for retrieval from memory, sometimes affects speech, and it shrinks as you age, which also lessens its function on a proper level, and it will leave Commissioner Draper occasionally in some awkward silences when things are catching up on a retrieval. All care centers are subject to surveys made by the State Department of Health. They go through and they determine whether or not things are functioning as they should. Should they find something out of compliance, they issue what is commonly known as a tag, meaning that you have a problem and it's expected to be fixed. They range from minor to things that have financial penalties associated with them. In one of the recent surveys that was conducted in Millard Care and Rehab, the dining facilities were found to be deficient. As was described previously, the people who reside at this facility, it's built to hold 60 people. Currently, there are 49 in location. To have them to where meals are delivered in a timely manner and close to the kitchen, there are tables set up along the hallways. It was mentioned that it was not cool by Candace. In the winter, these are glass windows, and it's quite cool. The board and the director for Millard Care and Rehab, after receiving notice from the state, looked into building a new dining hall. The construction of the building was not such that 2 of the large open areas would work well with the situation of the cafeteria, so it becomes new construction. In making this application, the Department of Health was contacted by CIB personnel, and they said, oh no, we did not require this, because it was explained to them if they required it, what was going to be their percentage of participation in funding this. that mandate has backed off from being a mandate to, we're not real sure, but in looking forward through the years with this, it would appear that a correction on this would be a desirable situation. The four of us that you see in front of us, this is our maiden voyage into a request before the CIB board. So we're learning. The county, as you all know, has been greatly funded in the past by revenues from the Intermountain Power Project. Like any other entity that operates in business, they depreciate. We have come to a point in our history where that depreciation has come down to the point where they no longer provide us with excess funds, and so this caught us by surprise in our budgeting system. The county created Millard Care and Rehab as a 501c3. They have their own board, of which Mr. Dearden is the chair, so that they oversee the operation. They contract with Traditions Healthcare, who is a private provider, but this is not in any way, shape, or form a pass-through of perhaps an inexpensive loan to that entity. This is all about Millard County, who owns this facility. The county can contract with any entity to operate this, should they so choose, if we decided that the current operator was not performing as desired. We can put it out for bid and it could be taken over by another entity. So they are not a permanently ensconced entity in this process. One of the things that I believe will be a question and brought up, because I was questioned about it, we did hold a public hearing, but being as this is our maiden voyage, we probably didn't hold a good enough public hearing. And we would be more than willing, if need be, to hold another one and discuss the options of loans. Being the chairman of the committee, I brought up the idea that there might be a loan involved, but we did not go into great detail. So there was some notification to the public, but perhaps not enough detail. After that, fire away.
Okay, let us fire. Thank you, Mayor, or Commissioner. Let's go to the board. Mr. Zanotti? Mayor Baker.
All right, I'll jump in. As I was going through your packet, I kind of noticed that your property taxes have dropped from 17 to 18, and you seem to be going down. Maybe you could explain that, and then also it shows that you have absolutely zero general obligation debt. Maybe you can explain that.
You bet. Our property tax revenue has declined because of two factors. We have reached within 2% of the maximum certified tax rate. To go through truth in taxation would only raise a few thousand dollars as far as our revenues go. Because of the situations with the Intermountain Power Plant for several years, we have had no new growth. And without any new growth, we have not had any way to increase our tax revenues. Treasurer Dearden knows better how that works than I do.
Good explanation.
The new growth that is expected in the county, where we would have the ability for our taxes to increase, is expected to arrive in the tax year of about 2022 or 2023. We have multiple large-scale projects that are going to come to fruition, but they will not be taxable until at least 2022 and more likely 2023. Just a quick aside on that, the Sevier Lake dry bed where the potash plant is going to be erected is a year behind schedule due to NEPA considerations. that impacted their ability to begin construction. It should have begun last January. They will do partial movement on that, but they won't begin in earnest most likely till January of 2021. There are going to be modifications at the Intermountain Power Plant where they will build two new gas units. Those that are interested, the Los Angeles Times ran a story about those being powered by hydrogen gas. They will begin as a mix of hydrogen and natural gas. They were to begin construction next month. They will most likely not begin construction until 2021. That means that they will not be subject to our receiving revenue till 2022. We have others that have basically let it be known through the press that they will be locating, but we don't anticipate, again, anything till, in reality, 2023. Our new growth situation will not most likely be cured until the end of 2022.
And as far as the no general obligation debt, it's because of the situation with IPP in the past that we have been able to fund projects without seeking outside debt. Unfortunately, that time is probably coming to a close, but that's where we're at right now.
Kind of follow-up question, if I could,
sure.
Chairman. With that, would you be willing to consider, you said mentioned something about a loan, would you be willing to consider it all in a loan and have it deferred for a couple of years so that you could then, once that is and these projects come online, you would have the ability to make payments on that loan?
Chairman Dearden enlightened me in a place that I was deficient in my understanding and education about how loans work. He is a former county commissioner, and at that point we started to look at loans and what they might be and what we could look at. I contacted Zach at Sixth County and asked him how some of that operates and at different percentages. A 100% loan at 2.5% is something that would probably be advantageous if we had no other option, but we would really prefer to take a look at a 50-50.
Mr. Snoddy.
I may be, excuse me, candidate for Hypercampus, but I know this much, that I've seen the results of your frugal policy in your community. The fact that you have not even used anything from, haven't asked anything from this board for the last 10 years except $140,000 in the form of grant. That is impressive for a community to finance whatever the project you have through your community. To me, that is really commendable for all of you, treasurer and all. So, but I also recognize that the is a Christmas time, so yes, you are willing to take 50-50. I think the board should consider that.
Thank you.
Mr. Glicky.
I did have a number of questions down here that you had answered, so that saves some time. And I guess you don't have an engineer here, but I noted that you had $500,000 for a 1,700-square-foot facility or add-on is $290 a square foot. Can you address that at all?
Byron, I'm going to let you take that one.
So we're actually going to reduce the amount that we're asking for about $461,000. We said $500,000 originally because when we were looking at the architecture, some of which has already been built out and is not included in the application, there's a remaining portion that will be accrued and built out during construction. I didn't know the amount on that, and when we first submitted the application, I didn't have a number. Since then, I've been able to get those numbers and put those into the estimate with the help of our architect, and so that brings it down to $461,000, which which is more more accurate cost of what we expect to spend.
Yeah, it's funny because it's still $267 a square foot. Like, wow, that's a lot of money.
Part of the problem, too, is that it is a skilled nursing facility. A lot of regulations, there's a lot that has to go into it, the sprinkler systems and the different things that they have to cover when they do it. It's more expensive than a typical building.
Yeah. I'd make a motion.
Okay.
You know, considering that, you know, the county, as Packet is states it, that you have no debt at this time, I would move that we fund 100% loan, 2.5% for 30 years.
Motion's in order. Is there a second to that motion?
I'll second
that. A second from Mayor Baker. That is to approve a $500,000 loan. $461,000 loan at 30 years, 2.5%. That is the motion before us. Discussion to that motion.
I would like to substitute the motion, Mr. Chairman.
So Allison's asking if that would cover the bonding costs. So 461 is your estimate for the actual building. There would be bonding costs as well.
Yes, that's included in that.
It is included in that, 461.
You know, I might have to check on that.
Okay.
I thought it was included.
No, it's not included in there because we didn't plan on borrowing.
So we may want to consider, yeah, they can take less than the 500 if you approve it, especially if it's all in loan. And then,
okay.
May I make a comment?
Hold on one second. I've got a substitute motion that wants to come before us, and then we'll go.
I would like to go $500,000 to cover all the expenses, 50-50, 2.5%.
Second that.
So the substitute motion before us is to do a $250,000 grant and a $250,000 loan, 30 years, 2.5%.
Correct.
And that was seconded by Commissioner Ogden. So that substitute motion is before us. Comments or questions to that? Did you want to add something?
Beginning in the years 2012 through 2016, we were a Category 4 producer county, and our contribution was $7.8 million in, and we only in our county took $6.7 million out. We have since changed status to where we're a Category 3, where we have only contributed $500,000, and we have had $6 million come out. But with our future coming along, we expect to go back to Category 4 in about 4 to 5 years. I just wanted that put forward.
Okay. The further questions, discussion, comments to the substitute motion? Seeing none. Okay. Again, restated is 50-50. $250,000 loan, 30 years, 2.5%, and a $250,000 grant. All in favor of that motion, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Mr. Galecki opposes. All others in favor? That motion passes, and we will see you at the February funding meeting. That's on the priority list for that 50-50 split.
We're looking forward to it.
Great. Okay. Thank you.
What is the date of the February meeting? Do we have
date's 6.
February 6.
Thank you.
Okay.
Thank you.
All right. We have, that ends our new projects. We have a supplemental request for the board. We'll invite St. George City and their representatives to the table. Candace, give us a briefing on this one.
I think so. What's that?
The supplemental request, which is on the agenda today, is from St. George City for the City Hall and Police Station expansion. They called it a city campus earlier. We were confused because we didn't want it to be an education project. The original funding that the board authorized as you can see in the memorandum in your packet, was for $12,557,000. It's all loan, 20 years at 2.5%. Now they've done modifications to adjust for the relocation of the 911 emergency communications dispatch center. They've changed the scope a bit. They've realized that in the changing of the scope, there were additional dollars and expenses that were incurred. There are a variety of things in your packet that they have submitted. What they're requesting, along with the $12,557,000, is a new amount of $2,443,000, which is for the same terms. It's all loan, 20 years at 2.5%, and for a nice round number of $15 million for this project. They have changed the scope a bit, so it's not a new application, but it is just a modified scope, which we always bring back to the board when there's a supplemental request and a modification to the description. So with that, I will let them discuss it and how many square feet, because it did change. And I'm not sure. Are there two buildings that are being renovated, and they're just part of this campus?
Okay. Want to introduce yourselves for the record?
You bet. Thank you, Mr. Chairman and the CIB board. My name is Mark Mortensen. I am the support services director for the City of St. George, and along with me is our financial advisor, Jason Burningham from Lewis, Young, Robertson, and Burningham. And we're pleased to be here today, and Candace is correct, and we really appreciate her expertise and help in guiding us on this modification and the opportunity to present again to you today. After some thoughtful consideration of our design that we proposed and brought before you in July, it became apparent that we needed to rethink a few things, primarily due to the fact that we wanted to give ourselves a little extra room for expansion in the City Hall building. And by pulling the this is a four-phase project, essentially. The first phase is phase 1A, and that's relocating 911 to a separate building out of the police department building. Phase 1B is a parking structure. Phase 1A and phase 1B are funded by the City of St. George out of our own funds. And we are estimating those costs to be somewhere around $4.5 to $5 million. Phase 2 and 3 are what are before you today, and that includes the $15 million ask from the CIB. Phase 2 is expansion and substantial remodel of City Hall, and we thought it would be best to pull our City Council chambers out of the middle of the building and actually relocate them in an expansion to the east of our building, which I believe on page 4, you can see just a little quick diagram in this handout. Says phase 2 will expand in that area and expand to the north in the middle of the building. This gives us a lot of options, and it actually made it possible, too, for us to shrink the police department footprint in the police building by 3,000 square feet, and we'll build a new City Council chambers, which will also double as a multi-purpose community room, can be used for large trainings that we do countywide with our public safety. It can be used for a variety of purposes. It improves security within our building. And it also it allows for the expansion of our City Council, which in our original design we didn't take into account that our city's growing so quickly. We're going to be expanding in the near future from a 5-member council to a 7-member council. And so we thought it would be best if we relocated that to the east side of our building and then move our 311 customer service center into the middle of the building. The phase 3 is the expansion of the police department, and The uses have not changed since we came before you, but we did shrink the building by 3,000 square feet, saving money in that particular building and applying it to City Hall for that multi-purpose room that could be used by the police department interchangeably. Again, the total ask is an increase of $2,443,000 for a total of $15 million. The City of St. George will fund the repayment of this low-interest loan of 2.5% through our general fund, through our energy and water enterprise funds, as well as through the police impact fees.
Great. Thank you for that explanation. Questions from the board? Commissioner Ogden.
I think this is a good project. I don't know if there's a lot of discussion. I would make a motion that we award them their supplemental part on this this building. One thing I did want to say to them, though, I'm sorry that you're going from a 5-member to a 7-member council.
Are you, or is that just maybe?
Well, it's maybe at this point.
Okay.
But as we touch on the 100,000 mark, you know, population-wise, we're going to have to reevaluate the form of government. So.
Second on the motion.
So the motion made by Commissioner Ogden, seconded by Mr. Zanotti, is to approve a supplemental request of $2,443,000 as a 20-year, 2.5% loan.
Just
further discussion?
Just a comment. It's beautiful City of St. George has all the beauties except that chamber, council chamber. It's a dungeon. And I hope that soon we can change it to something with the enhanced features, the view of the mountains. And Mayor Park has promised us the full access to that building whenever we need it.
Yeah.
After remodeling.
Absolutely. And, yeah, thank you, Mr. Zanotti. We've heard that message loud and clear by our UDOT commissioners and other agencies throughout the state that use the building.
We may have to change our retreat time, so if we're going to go use the St. George meeting.
Whenever you're ready.
You guys are welcome to come down today if you want. It's 60 degrees down there.
Yeah.
This is my only jacket. Thank you for letting me have an opportunity to wear it.
Any further discussion? Okay, the motion before us is to approve a supplemental amount of $2,443,000 as a 20-year, 2.5% loan. All in favor of that motion, say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion passes unanimously. That will be added in.
Thank you.
Okay, that, well, we don't have an agenda item 8. We went from 7 to 9, so I don't know what the mystery item 8 was.
The numbering that occurs through the
system.
Okay.
Program.
So, we have two items of board discussion.
We're probably not going to discuss Jack, Mayor, or Commissioner Dalton.
Okay, we have one item of board discussion, and that's the CIB board funding criteria. This is a continual follow-on of our conversation. I will invite Paul up. You coming up to talk? It's our loan tool. And the criteria, kind of a follow-on conversation of what we had in our November meeting, so we'll turn the time over to Paul.
Should I be over there or should I be over here?
I don't know what you mean. I don't have anything loaded. Should I?
Now
is the time to unwrap your candy because we don't need the audio.
Okay.
Although I ate this Kit Kat, then all of a sudden I decided it's a totally different flavor than the Kit Kat I was planning on biting into, and I was a little bit disappointed. So now I had to wash it down with a bunch of water.
What is the sense of adventure, Mr.
Chairman? Oh, you've got a hard life there.
I'm not a big candy guy, so if you really mess with the equilibrium, it's challenging. No, it's
sweet cinnamon.
Yeah, it's sweet cinnamon. I didn't know they had such a flavor.
It's Christmas.
I know, yeah.
It's a 2020 new vision. New candy, new taste.
You can eat the Reese's Cup and it'll taste like Reese's Cup.
Okay, I think I'm going to do that. What about the York peppermint patty? These are critical issues. I want these on the record here while we're setting up. Okay. Yeah, we'll hand the mic over to you.
I'll go steal that one.
Testing. Okay. So, am I go? I'm good. Okay.
You're live.
I'll sing a duet with Jonathan. So thanks again for having me back. I'm also appreciative. I was able to meet with about half the board in the last couple of weeks since the last meeting. Thanks for everyone who made the time, and hopefully I can touch base with the rest of the board that I haven't been able to meet with yet. I just kind of wanted to give you a status update. I think as we left it in the last meeting, we were hopefully going to come forward with some numbers on a proposal, and then after meeting with a few of the board members, I decided that I think we need to I don't know, slow down a little bit, but we need to kind of reassess some of the criteria and things, and be able to get something that's I think a little more robust than even what we had at first pass. So with that, I guess I could just kind of run through what we're talking about. I think that this might be redundant for those who I talked to previously, but so we're looking at with the goals of providing increased consistency from the decision-making and the board regarding funding packages. We are implementing, or we're planning to, or hopefully implementing the following proposals. One is that the applicants apply for a lump sum, and then the applicants also provide how much in annual debt service they can afford as part of the application. And then using the criteria established during this process, we're going to the staff will work iteratively with the applicant to determine a funding package that would be presented in front of the board. So the criteria around that, and sorry, everyone wants to look at the tool. Yeah, I'm not quite there yet, but with the criteria, so there's two macro criteria, the applicant, who they are, and then the project, what they're coming forward with. And the criteria around the applicant affect the interest rate. So it'll go up and down based on who they are. And then the factors affecting the project will determine the loan grant mix. That's generally how this is put forward. And of course, the devil's in the details, right? So on the applicant side, there are factors that are determined by the applicant county. That seems to be generally how this board works. We talk about things on the county level, especially talking about production. So that's the first criteria. And then we have public lands. It's another one that's been put forward. Population classifications. And then there's ones that are more based on the specific applicant, and that is MAGI, the median adjusted gross income. And another one that we had not previously proposed, but after some conversations we are proposing, would be the annual budget, total annual budget. So the criteria that are around the project is, we're talking about, the first one is project type, so whether it's a cemetery, sewer, water project, like we saw today a lot, a general building, those kind of project types. And then project lifespan needs to be considered. We know that you don't want to fund something past its useful life. And then the repayment source, because there are certain limitations that come with BNC road funds and with mineral lease funds that are often used as to help fund the project or to pay for debt service. And then matching cash, so that question of skin in the game or outside cash beyond that which CIB is paying for. So those are the overall, those are the criteria. And as we previously discussed in the last couple of meetings, those criteria will set a ceiling or a maximum amount, a maximum both interest rate and a maximum loan amount. So something that also came up during the discussions with board members is that there may be a need there likely is a need for a minimum, for a floor, as it were. And that we haven't really explored beyond just the conversations that we had. So that's another reason why we should need to kind of keep discussing this for a couple more months. But I think that's one thing that maybe we could get a sense from the board, but just because it's a shift from what we were talking about previously, which was that ceiling. Something else, let's see, that might be a little different is when we talked about the different exemptions, where a project doesn't meet those established criteria, where the funding criteria or the funding package that comes in through those criteria just doesn't make sense for that application or for the applicant. And so we have a structured way of varying from those established criteria. And those were, we talked about before, if you remember, financial hardship, emergency response or mitigation, unique project and special circumstances. We also discussed, and this one's, I think, pretty straightforward, and I think everyone would probably approve of this one. We wanted to do an administrative exemption, and that's one that, whereas those other four are invoked by the applicant, that last one would be invoked by the board specifically. And that's, again, so the board can administer the fund consistent with sound financial practices and you are resulting in the greatest use of financial resources for the greatest number in the state, as the statute says. But that's just an opportunity for the board to come in and do what they do best. So
I think, again, this is, if I know I wasn't a part of all the discussion down in November because I had to leave, but this is a tool to help with the application and the board discussion process, not necessarily boxing the board into a decision on it.
No, so definitely not.
Maybe something would be helpful is to plug in this last project that we reviewed this tool and see what it spits out. So the, not the St. George City one, but the Millard.
Millard? Sure. So, can I caveat this up the
yes.
Yin-yang?
Yeah, I know.
caveat one, these numbers are obviously not final. We have not got this. This is not final in any way. The numbers obviously affect how this thing will play out, so it could be interesting based on that.
Okay.
You can get an idea of how it would proceed, though, and I can talk maybe through the overall process that will happen.
Could
and how
we help
this
you
works.
With some of that? We won't hold you to any of it.
Good, thank you.
But we will get to see how it works and what it provides under the current
cool.
circumstances.
Okay, so it was Millard County, right. So in the application, of course, it's...
500,000.
Yeah, we're going to do the applicant is... okay, it's not... Oh, that's why I'm in comment only. Oh, because Brenda doesn't have that access. Dang, have it.
Can you create access?
Yeah, I got it. Just give me a second. Pull out your phone and just authorize access. So.
Yeah, I'm flying here. Oh, look at that. This is great.
No, we love technology. This
yeah.
It's great.
Okay, can I edit? Okay, Brenda, you're now an editor, just so you know.
Whoa.
Okay.
Is Brenda even here that...
Try this again. All right. Sweet. Now we're cooking with Crisco here. Okay, so the applicant's going to be Millard County. As I set up the tool so far, I pulled the Magi data already because it's available at the city level in a data set, so I already have that plugged into the system. And by that, I had the applicant default as city. We'll have to, I'm adjusting that as we go forward. It was just to facilitate working with the applicant. So this will be a little funky, but we're looking at it.
What city does it sit in?
Delta, we'd assume. So if we do the Magi from Delta, it might be safe. Sure. Let's just do it for argument's sake.
Yeah.
So the project is going to be the Care Center. I'll just do that much. It is in Miller. Okay. And so the Magi is auto-populated from the city level. We're not going to worry about annual budget yet because that's not been integrated yet. But I can. You know, it is a general building project. It's not a vehicle. And the total project cost was $500,000, right?
Yes.
Come on. There we go. Total CIB request was $500,000. Now, this is the million-dollar question. And I think all the people I talked to have cued in on that. So let's just go with, what was the terms? The approved terms were 50-50 at 2.5, right?
Right.
Okay. So.
But they were asking for straight.
They were asking for straight grant, yeah. So in the application going forward, other than the lump sum ask, there's also the ask for, or the statement of how much they can afford annual debt service. Okay. So that's where that number would normally be plugged in from. But since we don't have that, because they didn't say anything, I've just, when I'm doing these calculations, as an example, I've been going off of what they asked for as far as debt. And in this situation, they said they could do a 50-50 at 2.5. So let's look what that means. At 2.5, it's $11,944 annual debt service. So let's just say that's their, they came in the application and they said, yeah, we can afford, let's just say $12,000 just for fun, $12,000 in annual debt service. They're not dedicating funds from any fund that is has restrictions on it, so we're going to bypass that, and they're not asking for exemption yet.
What are the choices for exemptions?
Yeah. So we have financial hardship, emergency, special circumstances, unique project, or administrative. Again, that administrative one is invoked by the board only. These other four are applicant requested. And then the board would approve or deny those requests for exemptions.
So if we deviated, then it would go under administrative?
Yeah, if you chose to, independent of the applicant asking, then yeah. Then you could just say, yeah, we wanted to make an administrative exemption to our set guidelines, and there it is. It's, again, to provide a structure for those variances from that normal structure setup.
And when they use financial hardship, for instance, mm-hmm. they alluded to some kind of a, I don't know if you'd say exempt, if it was financial hardship, or I would assume they'd have to be, there'd have to be evidence of such in terms of everything else. Special circumstances, the fact that they had a note from the health department saying this isn't cool, does that develop into a special circumstance, or what are the criteria as you apply them?
So, as, let's see if I have a copy of
this. The other million-dollar question.
I mean,
yeah, where you draw the line there.
Yeah. And I'm not being critical of it in any form. I just want to understand for sure.
Well, so, I mean, we can set criteria for those in any way. What I'm proposing so far is,
are they self-determined by the applicant, or are we?
Yes, and and staff can try to verify that as much as
you did with
possible.
The health department and
yeah.
I would hope.
On.
Huh? Trust but verify.
Trust but verify. At least as far as I know now, I have under financial hardship, the applicant must provide evidence and argument that the proposed project is essential for the preservation of community health, safety, and welfare, and the potential cost to finance under the proposed terms exceeds the discretionary budget. I know that's, it's not.
I would say it's wiggling close. Let's see what special circumstances does to it.
Yeah. Well, so the exemptions, what exemptions do is that when so the staff works with the applicant to produce a funding package, and that goes in front of the board. So what would happen is if the applicant was like, yeah, no, we need to take a financial exemption, that would come in front of the board. The staff would ask, I think, before it comes in front, they'd ask, okay, so what are the terms that you do want? Kind of like it does now, basically. It would kind of move forward as it does now, where the board would then consider that and process it.
We're just trying to prevent you from being told how you will fund it.
I understand.
Because that's how the application's coming in now. They tell you.
Yeah.
I understand.
So now just.
Don't you usually do that, Candace?
Yeah.
Okay.
That's what you will do.
Is there a Candace exemption? In the nicest sense, meaning that Candace has an input in an appropriate manner.
Yeah, so that's right below the other exemptions. I think I think I got that. It's right. Yeah, so somewhere in here.
One question on those exemptions. When they select, if they go in and select an exemption, can it be a place that it pulls up and says, explain the exemption, da 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 da, so Candace doesn't have to call them?
Yeah, that's in the application,
actually. The application may throw out, you know, a page or something that they've got to fill out.
Yeah, in the application itself, there's lines. If they want an exemption, they mark that, and there's the line for explanation and provide extra backup in an appendix. Yeah.
And it, we'd probably be see that as well, right? I mean, if it,
yes,
you know.
Yeah, and we talked. Treasure Redemption's not here. We talked about providing with the packet, kind of easy summary of how the funding package was assembled. You know, like some summary, quick, high level information, not you know the details, but just saying, because this is from this county with this these different data points and these criteria, then this is why we went forward with this. The funding package. And again, all this, I want to also reiterate that, I mean, the board sees the applications during the application review meetings, and they can always vote yes or no to begin with. Then that's totally aside from the funding package side of things. This funding package is, again, like Candace was saying, it's so that the board establishes how things are put forward. Within, I mean, again, working with the applicants as well, though, so it's hopefully a win-win.
Okay, so itself, or filled in the deal. So the maximum loan rate is 2%.
Yeah. So, well, as far as this one and as the numbers are set up, then it would be
those are calculations
that ceiling
that
is 2%.
In the background.
Yeah, based on these factors on the right that have been entered in.
Now, when you say the maximum the maximum loan rate. Now, that's providing them credits based on some other criteria.
Right.
Yeah, so packages, I guess, start out at 2.5%. And then the next one is production costs. Okay, according to this, again, this is all malleable, so I'm going to keep saying caveats. Millard said that they were, I want to say,
four. Well, they want four. They are three now.
Yeah, according to this, the way it's classified now, there'd be a 3. So then there's no change to that parameter. Public lands classification, they are a 5. So that's where they get the 0.5% lower, is the public lands classification. Miller County has evidently quite a bit of public lands there, so or non-private.
Remember, you can't tax what you don't own, so that's why that can
And then the rest of this, I mean, I think their Magi is probably pretty high, but high enough that it's not below 85%. Yeah, so they wouldn't get the Magi reduction, and the population obviously they're not a 1, and they're not a 5 or a 6. So in the county classifications, so I mean, that's why it's at 2%. Kind of you get an idea of how that sort of works.
So you know, they get a credit for the amount of public land. But I guess let's say if they were generating enough income, they would show up on the Magi to kind of.
Yeah. So let's say if they're Magi, let's just play with it. Let's say they're rolling in at 65 or something.
Whoa.
Yeah, right. Does that override? I got to change the applicant here really quick. There, that should override. Yeah, so there it goes. So then they're still at Miller County, so you'd still have that public lands reduction, but then it also bump up because they're 125 or more of Magi, of
yeah.
State Magi, sorry.
So they stay at 2.5%.
So they, yeah.
Yeah,
let's go back to.
What is, we did the 2.5%, did we choose that to be the rate? Outright.
That's what the board has established right
now. Mm-hmm. It's there. A little bit below bonding rate or something. Is that where you put that?
Yeah, it was originally established because we had
some statutory language that said you have to have not be less than half of the state bond rate.
And
that was a moving target, and you established it at 2.5 to make sure you do less than half the state bond rate.
Are we still? Is it
now
still?
It says it has to bear an interest.
We can change the standard at any time. It's up to the board, but 2.5% is kind of what we've been operating.
I knew that. Yeah. I just didn't know if it was. I couldn't remember if we had said, okay, it's going to be 2.5%, or if we were still following the bond.
No.
You don't have to, because statutory language was changed.
I'm good. So, I don't really
don't
want to use a lot of time on it.
But you still establish the thing that you can go higher for the whomever, and you can go lower. But
our target,
you don't want to think about it, you can do 2.5%.
But our target is 2.5%.
Yeah.
In essence, either way.
In some of the comments today, they said that they were going to go with a loan from drinking water because they were too high.
How do we do that?
How does that play into? I mean, where's drinking water get their number from? Lisa still here?
Yeah.
I want to know why you charge so much money. No.
And Gus, some of us,
where do your rate structures come from?
Water. We have to have that conversation.
You ought to come up here, swing.
Because it was well intentioned.
So we do a financial analysis for every project targeting that 1.75% affordability. So typically our rates are starting at about, we base it on the RBBI, and then we start giving credit for different aspects of the project, like regionalization, project need. So typically they drop down to 2.5, but if they're above the 1.75, we start lowering it some more. So.
You said that our
I'm sorry, RBBI. I don't know what the acronym means. It's a bond, municipal bond index.
Okay, and does that change? What's that at?
Well, we typically have to call one of the local banks because it's proprietary how they calculate that out. Last I checked, it was about 3.9. So
for instance, when those guys said, I don't remember who said it was, whoever referenced you saying mm-hmm. your interest was too
was
high.
Was that Johnson, the first
it was
project?
Tabione.
Okay. Because looking at their project, they were already well below the 1.75, so their rate probably would have been somewhere between 1.5% and 3.5%. And no grant. It was Johnson?
Yeah,
and if you, what were they, at 0.68?
Yeah.
So they were not going to get grant, and so.
Is that a little bit of shopping that goes, you know how we spoke about shopping?
Yes. Well,
you're supposed to talk to both.
Yes.
Well, that's what we were trying to encourage in our AOG.
Not
it backfired.
Because then you take the staff time and board time.
I understand. There was a misunderstanding in language, but the point was to see for them to be informed and be a part of their application that they had talked to them. It turned into much different.
But, yeah, our analysis is based primarily on affordability and the number. We don't take into consideration many of the things CIB also takes into consideration. So.
So your structure is more rigid, and it's quite rigid. You know, far more rigid, based solely on the Magi, 1.75%.
Right.
Magi, 1.75%, and the rates.
Correct. We can
still fund.
Yeah,
we are limited to what we can fund. So
while you're on the hot seat, Lisa, Mr. Chairman,
sure.
Permission.
Yeah.
ERC.
Mm-hmm.
How do you calculate that? So you have 382, for example,
mm-hmm.
for the tropic, and then 57 commercial institution. You ended up 580 total.
Correct.
How did you come up with that number?
So one of the ways we typically do it is you know what your residential connections required. They report this to the Division of Water Rights every year.
Okay.
So you have, let's just say, 300 residential connections. They've used X amount of domestic water. That creates a ratio of gallons per ERC per year. We then take that number and apply that to their total institutional use. So let's say a hotel maybe use 100 times what one residential connection would use. So that would, that one connection now becomes 100 ERCs, which adds to the 300, which is the, and so on.
Wonderful. Thank you.
You're welcome.
So do we have something where we're discerning part of what they do into what we have, or if we will always have that shopping scenario to deal with in terms of our role versus their role in providing funding? Or
well, this tool is independent of what they're doing.
No, I know right it's independent, now. But I just, it's like...
But it's applicants should get a pretty good idea of what the rates and potential structures are with us, just like they do with drinking water, without even having to submit a full application and have a review. Like, they could fill out this tool and kind of see...
And that would reduce some staff time.
Probably, yeah.
And there's other funding boards or funding sources. There's USDA, CDBG, that are other ones that can be considered regularly and with different, you know, benefits to each. So
it's probably been 5 years now. We spent quite a bit of time meeting with DQ and trying to figure out some way to have to do this, and it's the best we can do. You know, is you have to talk and see what makes sense for you. And again, this tool will help because now they know what terms to expect from CIB rather than being told. Generally, our terms are better. Which is good. We get our money out there.
Right, especially in the loan form as well. Well, that's the other part is the real world is a whole lot different than what we're doing.
You know, we have problems with that because it's like we're taking all their business. You know, so you have to...
And we are.
We're going to raise it too high.
Do you want to keep going with, so the maximum loan rate under those circumstances, 2% for the sake of the example.
Yep. And I don't have any minimums in here because we haven't even pursued that really, so you can ignore those. According to this, the sort of maximum grant is 25% on that.
If you change it from a building to some, say, something more mechanical, does it automatically change that term?
Some of those, yeah, depending on what it is. Especially, well, here I'll show you if it's a, if it's a vehicle, because of course, you know, vehicles don't last 30 years. So it goes
some
to
10. Some of ours do, but.
Got better cars than I do then.
No, this costs more. So that changes the years.
Yeah, it set that maximum term. And how that kind of plays out, you can kind of see this should be a pretty familiar-looking screen. I mean, you have this in the loan calculator. But so this is where you see in 5% increments of loan grant how the annual payments would play out in different scenarios. It's a little small. I can.
So when we go across the board, what are we looking at across? That's different percentage rates?
Yep. So
100% loan.
At 5% increment, or sorry, 0.5% increments on the interest rate, and then on 5-year increments starting at 10, going to 30.
And because it
and then 5%
figured out 2%, that's why it stopped there.
Right.
Yep. So again, that ceiling, that concept of the ceiling, it's a 2% ceiling there.
And then once we get down to 12,000 a year, is it supposed to be shaded green?
Oh, see, on this example, that's within 5% of the 12,000.
Okay.
But according to the other criteria, which was a...
So let's put what we did do to them.
Yeah, so the 50-50 didn't come up on this one because of... it was because of the...
We had a max of...
Yep, there was a maximum grant, 25% on that.
That's a pretty good guide. We said that we left, that we gave out too much money in that one.
Well, yeah, we haven't totally fine-tuned on the minimum, maximum
criteria.
But it's just saying that generally the board wouldn't want to fund more than 25% on this type of project.
Conservatively speaking, I guess.
So, and
you could be administrative.
Well, in this scenario, because there wasn't one that was clearly green under the criteria, this would be a financial hardship exemption, most likely, because there isn't a term that works for the applicant and the board's criteria. So then they would say, okay, financial exemption, and then that's the point.
We didn't put in their total budget and all that other
stuff. No, there's other factors that we haven't.
That may change, right? Or did we put an example number in there?
No, the total budget isn't even calculated in. That was one of the ones that came up during the discussions this last week. So I haven't integrated that yet. And we also don't have any of the minimums, which is a whole other side of this. But, I guess you can get an idea of how things could go. So even in this scenario, they could propose or the staff could work with them and say, can you take 12.5? And then it'd be like, yeah, okay, so 0% 30-year loan.
I think that's an important point, is that all of this is happening with Candace and Brenda before you get to it. So when you get to it, you know, it's been worked out in the past, so... And the realities of it. And that's going on now as well, but there's no structure to it. And this provides a structure that is beneficial for everyone. And then, you know, the board has the opportunity to do what they do as well. So.
Well, and it builds that documentation.
Right,
too.
Exactly.
Keith?
So throw it to him.
One of the things that came up in our meeting when he came out and showed us this was at what timing is this rolled out to the applicant? I mean, should it even be in a city council meeting when they're trying to decide what they can afford? What was recommended in our meeting after discussion was that, hey, this maybe should be online and available to boards and special service district boards to pull up just like we're doing here and enter scenarios and say, can we afford $20,000 a year?
Right.
And if we can, how can we get to that? Well, we could do this much loan, this much grant at this percentage. And that may happen, if they have that discussion beforehand, it might save them time in their public hearing to have those right there to show the public and their constituents, as opposed to coming up with what they think they can do, come to you, and then have to go back.
Absolutely.
This should, theoretically, if you approve some format of this, it will be included with the application.
Okay, perfect.
The application will be changed somewhat, not a lot. We have the easiest application for someone to fill out.
So the timing, our objective with the timing is we're not expecting any action from the board today because we still have some work to do with this so that we can get dialogue going. And Paul is hoping to visit with the rest of you that he hasn't had a chance to face-to-face. If you're so inclined, you're certainly not obligated to. And then at the February meeting, we want to be able to approve something that's substantial and close to the final, because Candace and her team begin their tutorials, whereas hopefully you know they go out to every region and do a how-to CIV type workshop. And so they would introduce this and go through it so people understand it. They would release it, as beta testing, so the communities could have it. And then come July 1st, which is the start of the state fiscal year, for that trimester, we would have this in place. And
this would be the application and criteria that you might consider.
Yes, go ahead. Doggy.
Can you modify this so we can use this for our household, for our children, when they come to the money?
Absolutely.
Fill up the application.
Zero grant. That's my new philosophy.
remove all the restrictions except the administrative one.
Well, the interest rate would be set about half of their current age, so if you like that. Yeah.
A lot of this is based on, we're trying to figure out affordability. And two things that I look at is I know you put that one financial statement into it as far as amount, debt ratio. You know which table I'm speaking of? That has green, yellow. It's
the first, the loan tool that's already on your grid access right now.
Loan tool that's already on it. That and also part of their application is they say what loans are out and what...
Yes, outstanding, yeah.
What is debt. Retiring debt, mm-hmm. and all that. is that incorporated as one of the criterias in this?
Is which the retiring debt?
Are there financials? Because you said they're general, they're
annual budget, yeah.
If your annual
that's
budget.
On there, and then the annual debt service, proposed annual debt service, or the possible annual debt service, yeah. But like the financial analysis tool, we wanted to integrate these two, so there's you know one tool to rule them all kind of thing. As far as criteria, yeah, the applicant analysis, yeah.
So that's the question, because I try to base a little bit of my affordability is that.
Is it the green?
I was just wondering
yeah.
if that is part of the components in near.
There's still a self-report of the applicant saying this is how much debt service we feel like we can handle, and there may be a discrepancy between what they think and what we think as we review that type of information, just like we do right now, and I think that is important information to be some reconciliation of what, you know, if they may say we can only afford 10,000, but, you know, if in 2 years they could afford
right.
20,000, then that certainly makes a difference in our consideration. So it is something we need to kind of integrate in, whether it's, you know, a staff
explicitly.
Process where I think that's what we talked about a little bit is like, okay, the applicant's saying this. The staff's going to get all this financial information. There'll probably be some discussion of whether
okay.
that number they provided is really accurate before they get to the board discussion. But then certainly at the board level, you have all that information and you can ask, you know, those pointed questions about no community wants to take on debt. I mean, as like if you have the option of not taking on debt, you always raise your hand for that in a community. But you know, what they can actually do, I think that is, there will probably be some reconciliation that needs to be done.
Because their job is to get the best deal they can.
Sure, yeah.
Right, your job is to see that it's available for the next customer.
Right. And one more question about financial feasibility, I guess. And I forget which applicant it was, but many of them showed that they were kind of like, they were in bad shape. But part of it is because they had their debt all structured to be clear within 5 or 10 years. Well, that really, that's not our problem, right? I mean, that. I guess we have to look at that independently as board members. Go well. Okay.
Maybe we'll have to continue to do that.
Yeah.
Because yeah, it's like, can you hold off on this project for another year or two, and then you have the bonding capacity to take the loan?
Right.
I mean, it's the same thing in your personal finances, right? I'd love to go buy a new car this year, but I'm still paying for the old one, you know. So, you know, you're wise, that's what you do. And the bank just doesn't throw money at you. So.
We depends on the interest rate, I guess.
Yeah, exactly. Anyway.
You really have to
other questions for Paul?
Thank you. Good job.
Thanks.
Okay, so more refinement and meetings to come, personal and a board discussion at our next meeting as well. So thank you, Paul.
Thank you for everything you're doing on that. That's amazing.
It's an exciting tool. I like it.
Yes,
so
it is.
Oh, there is the report I put on each of your tables. Yeah, we wanted to that's the report we just finished fairly recently on the state of rural Utah. So that's our office produced that. Anyway. Fairly recently. And
so where's the hotel, 50 cents a night?
Helper. It says
right Helper.
That's the hotel CIB.
Yeah.
You
which, I mean, Helper, on that cover is Helper, and that's a great example of how the CIB has helped revitalize rural Utah. Helper is a great example of that revitalization happening. It's still underway, but it's a great turnaround story, and CIB paid quite a good sum for the water infrastructure and sewer infrastructure in that town.
$28 million dollars is our
yeah.
result.
Yeah. Yeah, to be fair, it says 50 cents and up.
Up.
So you could be on the upswing.
Well, most probably get the bottom floor, huh?
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know what room is the 50 cent or under what circumstance you would get it for that. But
they are selling Cokes for 5 cents.
They are, so yeah.
Okay. Good old days.
Thank you.
Thank you, Paul, and Keith, and team, and Candace, and Brenda, and everybody who does such a great job. I really appreciate your efforts. We appreciate the board's efforts. As such, we are going to have a, there is a lunch set up back there. I know you guys just all ate breakfast, full breakfast here, but we have lunch set up, our end of year lunch. We do need to officially adjourn, so I would entertain a motion there.
I'm going to get first on this.
Okay, Mayor Baker makes the motion to adjourn. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Yes. Okay.